Thank you for the gift of your son. Hallelujah, God. Let us focus on that today. Let us not get caught up in anything else today, God. Let us not look unto any other. Let's fixate our minds, our thoughts, our eyes on you. The one who started it, the one that will finish it. You'll bring it to pass. You'll see us through. God, you're good, God. You do good all the time. And you have good intentions for each and every one of us here today. I pray your hand to be upon them in a mighty way in this season and this week. Lord, as we celebrate your birth, let us never forget the significance of who you are and what you have done in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen today. Well, look at your neighbor and just say, you look better than the last time I saw you. If you have your Bible and you'd open it up to Psalm 33, I want to read a verse of Scripture to you today. And I want to talk to you about hope today. It's been on my heart all week. I want to also, before I get going, I want the guys, will you grab these here? This is the last time you get to invite somebody. If you have run out of these, if you want to, listen, I need some soldiers for the Lord today that will invite some people to the Christmas Eve service. Wave your hand. If you're just going to throw it on the floor, I don't want to give it to you. But if you're serious, you want to help somebody, maybe somebody that's living with, you know, just with some fear in their life and they don't have anywhere to go and they're lonely. You don't even, if we don't reach out to them, who will? So let's tell somebody. Let's let them know how much we care for them and invite them to the Christmas Eve service this year. The other thing I wanted to tell you is I went to a course this year. A few of us went together, that Dr. Mark Rutland, he was one of the most brilliant people I've ever heard teach in my life, taught on leadership and values and really touched my heart. We actually, the group that went, we received college credits for attending it. And he just released this book. And in light of what we're going to do at the first part of the year and just devote it on a new series that I'm going to call Closer, Coming Closer to God. And start off with prayer and fasting in that first week of January. He wrote a book, 21 Seconds to Change Your World, on simply spending time seeking the Lord and spending time. And I bought a case of those, and I thought, you know, this is a great thing. And they're on the table in the back. I don't even know how much they cost, but believe me, it's not a thick book. It's not a big one. But Dr. Rutland, when he says something, it is so impactful, and I just can't encourage you enough to do that. It'd be a great Christmas gift too, but that's not why I want them. I want to get it in your hand so it'll bless your life and encourage you. Today, I want to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you and encourage you. And I really sense in my heart that the Lord wants to really help someone. And I'm not going to be long today, and we have the refreshment set up out there on purpose, because sometimes I believe that we lose the fact that some of the greatest ministry can happen out in that foyer, over a cup of coffee or a cookie. Hallelujah for the cookies. Come on today. And I saw Donnie Allen here today. Where is Donnie? Where'd he go? Where are you, Donnie? What, is he out? He must be in the restroom or something. He ran out. Donnie moved to Painted Post. He's a teacher, but I was hoping that we'd see him up here. Well, he's not here. Well, let's just give him a hand clap anyways, wherever he is. Tell him we clap for him. Hope is an important part of what we need in our lives. Hope is something that will renew our hearts and lift us up, and it'll encourage us and bring us to where we need to be. Hope, if you have hope for today, if you have hope today, it'll give you strength for tomorrow. But with no hope in your heart, it'll make your heart sick. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we need, if we need anything in this life, we need hope. And hope is just not automatic. It doesn't come because we see it on a building or in a Christmas card or in a store. Hope, in fact, sometimes to receive it can sometimes be very difficult. We could be going through a traumatic time, loss, circumstances that leave us sometimes hopeless in our life. And there is a point that even in the middle of our disappointment and our despair, that we have to reach out to really apprehend the hope that God has given to us. And, you know, at this time of the year, I'm just always mindful of the hopelessness that I see in people's lives. This is the time of year where it can be the best of times or the most challenging of times. I got a text yesterday and went to see a man in the ICU at Strong Memorial. I'd been in Buffalo in the morning and went to Rochester in the afternoon, that says that without God, he's not going to make it. And I just think of that family in that time of need. And that could be you. You may be going through that. You could be reflecting on a time of loss or pain in your life. But I want to encourage you today to put your hope in God. Because if you put your hope in him, you'll never be disappointed. It doesn't mean that you won't go through pain. It doesn't mean you won't go through some feelings of fear. But you will never be disappointed. I want to help you with that today. And we need to turn to God first when we're in those times, not as a last resort. After we've exhausted everything else, then we go to God. No, we need to go to him first. If we're going through a time in our lives of lack of finances, we don't look to every other person to help us and to give it. We look to him. If we're going through a relational conflict in our family or in our marriage, we don't turn on the TV to listen to Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or Dr. Spock or Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. I don't know where that came from, but we must look to God first, not last. And the Bible says in Psalm 33:16, it says, no king is saved by the size of his army. Listen to this now. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its strength, it cannot save. Look at this. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love. To deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. What is he saying? That kings shouldn't have armies, or we shouldn't have strength, or we shouldn't have resources that can help us. He's not saying that. But he is saying that if we rely on those things for our hope and for our sustenance, we will be disappointed. You can't look to other things and other people and your bank account or your talents and your abilities, because in the middle of all of that, you could go through despair and despondency, and you could find out they don't supply the hope that you need. And I was thinking as I was preparing for Christmas Eve, and I was thinking a couple of years ago, I was laying on my back in the hospital, and I couldn't believe. I told the Lord, God, this is not the right time for this. You know that Christmas Eve is an important service, and I got to be there. And sometimes when you tell the Lord things, I could just imagine what he's looking like. You go ahead and just tell me what you think has to be the way it is. But it doesn't matter what you think or what you rely on and the strength. Our hope isn't in other things. Our hope is in God. And when we put our hope in God, we not only find peace, but we find out that it pleases God. You can't hope in other things. The psalm says his eyes are on those that fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love to deliver them. His hope is our shield. It's our strength. It's our buckler. It's our high tower in time of need. You can't put your hope in other things. You and I must put our hope in God. He may use a doctor, yes. He may use a banker, yes. He may use a counselor, yes. But if your hope is in them, you'll be disappointed. But if he uses them and your hope is in God, you will be greatly rewarded and you will be greatly helped. Remember, it's not the size of the king's army that matters. It's not the size of your wallet that matters. It's not the size of your skill that matters. It's the size of your God that has everything to do with the hope that is in your life. Hallelujah. You can't look to everything or everybody else for it. Our hope must be held inside of him. And we must have this resolve in our heart that we will look unto him no matter how dark, no matter how dismal, no matter how difficult the situation is. My hope is in the Lord and him only. And what will happen to you? I can't guarantee that nothing bad or unpleasant or challenging will ever happen. I can't even guarantee the outcome. But one thing I can guarantee, that if your hope is in God, you will never be put to shame. You will never be disappointed. And you will always, in the end, you will come out the victor. You will have the victory in Jesus' name. Our hope is in God. We trust in Him. We can't change sometimes our circumstances immediately. But when our hope is in Him, come on, somebody, you need to listen to me today. I'm preaching to you right now. The Spirit of the Lord laid this on me, laid it on me strong. For some of you, you've been hoping in other things. You look to other things. You look to other people. For some of you, you're bound by addictions in your life. And you wait till this time of the year and you amp that up in your life, thinking that that's going to help you or deliver you. My God, may I tell you today, don't put your hope in that. Put your hope in God today. Come on today. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right. But you don't know what I've been through. And you don't know what somebody else faces. And that doesn't excuse you to put your hope in the one that can change your life. Isaiah 49:23 says, when you know that I am the Lord, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Come on, some of you need to write that down. You need to get that in your heart. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. He's good to you when you hope in Him. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord delights in those that fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Come on, where's your hope today? Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need an encounter with God's Holy Spirit today to give you the hope and the strength that you're lacking in your life. So let me give you these. I just got five little thoughts and I'm going to close. I'm not going to be long. So listen to me. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. You're going to have hope in your life. You're going to put some things into practice. If you're hopeless, are you one of these people that wake up every day and you just feel left out and despondent and alone? My goodness. But, you know, Ryan, just sharing the word of the Lord, he started off in the 8:30 service. He's crying up here. I'm crying. I look around. I can't handle this thing at 8:30 in the morning. My goodness. And he starts it again. Hey, you weren't here. Garrett, he either fainted in the first service or went down under the power. We haven't figured it out yet. And I like it when he comes up in the second service, his brother just puts the hammer right on him. Sing it again, Garrett, sing it. We're going to push that thing to the end. We're going to trust God in it all. You could be in the midst of a dark time in your life, but God wants to be your hope today. Listen, number one, you got to know that God brings hope in His presence. David said in Psalm 62:5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. When everything else is falling, when everything else isn't sure, when your spouse treats you bad, or when your dog just runs off on you, whatever, you lose your job, whatever. My hope is in God alone. And you'll only know that when you venture through some of the darkest, deepest times of your life, that when you're in that, you have a decision and a choice to make. You either trust in everything else and let it pull you down deeper, or you'll trust in God alone and find Him to be your hope. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord, He'll renew their strength. Come on, if you're weak today, if you hope in Him, they'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. God's got a plan for you today. If you'll stand in His presence and you'll receive the hope that He has for you, you'll mount up higher. You'll go farther. You'll do greater than you ever could before. Couldn't have been a better testimony from Andy this morning. 5 years ago, lonely, alone, cold, living in a camper. 5 years later, bam, family of five. Hallelujah. Job, blessed. Favor in his life. In the presence of God. You got to have that. If you're going to have hope, you got to believe in the promise of God. The promises that come from the Word of God. The Word of God is just not something that you hook onto once in a while. It's something that you have inside of your heart. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that it would not sin against me." The Word of God will lift you up. It'll hold you in a dark time. It'll give you an answer. It'll be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. And sometimes you need a verse. You need a word from God to speak to you in your darkest time. Some of you need that today. Some of you need to write something down today. You need to make a note of it. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is God that is in you. And I've had a Starbucks black eye today, so I'm going to preach the pain off the wall. No, it's the Holy Spirit working. Luke 10:19 says, "Listen, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Quit taking a beating from the devil. Stand up and say, "I take authority over you, devil, in Jesus' mighty name. I will not let that go on in my life anymore. I will not let that go on in my family anymore. I'm going to stand up in the midst of that and declare, God is my refuge. He's my hope. He's my strength." Romans 8:37, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I'm a conqueror. You can be in the weakest. I've been beat up, beat down, lower than a whale's belly. And get a breath out of my mouth, and I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than, if the world listened to me, they'd laugh at me. How could you say, "Look at where you are. Ha, ha, ha. You're nothing. You're washed up. You're done." But God, he backs up his word. And when you begin to speak his word, hope comes alive inside of you. And something in the world changes around you. And it's not the way it used to be anymore. In fact, God will lift you up to another level. And when you say, in the midst of defeat, "I'm more than a conqueror. I'm stronger than this thing. I'm not going to be down and out. I'm going to be up and going." Hallelujah. If you're sick, you need a verse from God. Psalm 103:3. "Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases." Come on, you need to speak that over your life. If you're in financial trouble, if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you speak Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall." He shall supply. I'm telling you that. I spoke that over our lives. Ryan told you today, when 20 years ago, we were broke, Christmas time, we had nothing. And he's right. When I said, "The boys got to have a paper route so we could eat." Our dinner of choice every day was a case of little cups of black bean soup that you added hot water to. We ate more beans. We had more power in our house than they did in the block. My wife wouldn't eat a black bean for 10 years afterwards. She wouldn't even buy a, "Honey, let's get some of it." "Nope, I'm not having anything to do with them. Red beans, white beans, no black beans." She wasn't prejudiced. She just had a bad experience. Those boys, they'd run that paper route. We had nothing. Nothing. Don't examine my harvest until you've seen my seed. And we sowed and we prayed and I asked God, "What are we going to do? God, how could you? We come 3,000 miles and I've got to look at my kids at Christmas and tell them, I'm sorry, boys, but God didn't come through." Not that Christmas Eve. Somebody's at the door. "Yes? Is this the house where Martin McDonald?" "Yes. This box is for you," and a big box comes out. And I thought that was so appropriate, Ryan, this morning. In that box, gifts for the kids, and in the middle of it was pieces for a drum set for Ben, who was learning how to play drums. I wept over that. I've wept over that every year for over 20 years now. Not because of the gifts, because my hope was in the Lord. And he will never disappoint you today. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to put your hands together for Jesus right there. If you're going to have hope, you got to believe in the process of God. Romans 5:2 says, though we, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in it. Not only so, but we also, we glory in sufferings. Because we know that suffering, and this is, I know this is on your refrigerator. Everybody's got this on the mirror in the bathroom. This is the first verse you think of. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hope. You're going through a difficult time. God's going to use it to build hope in you. Because if you'll trust in him, you'll see that he'll bring you through and bring you out. And it'll just reinforce the conviction that you have to serve him even all the more. The process of God. And we have to understand that at the end of the day, God is going to see us through. He's going to move us through and make us who we are. Because tribulation will produce perseverance. And perseverance will give us hope. And know that Romans 8:28, all things, he'll work it out. He'll do something good. Come on, say it with me. All things. He's going to work that out for good to them that love him. Process. And then hope. You got to know your purpose. God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. You got to know your purpose. And when you know it, it'll bring you great hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I know, God says, the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you future and to give you hope. God's going to give that to you in your life today. Hope is always associated with our future, but we have to know and keep it in him. And then the ultimate source of hope, and I'm closing on this one. Listen to me. Listen to me. You are the only people, if you love Jesus today, if he's the Lord and the Savior of your life, and if he's not, you need to make him that before you leave today. You need to give him your life. You need to surrender your life to him. You may be here today. You may be in and out with him. And he doesn't want you one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. He wants all of you. He's never satisfied with someone that just makes him part-time. He wants a full-time relationship with you. Why? Because if you're going to have the ultimate source of hope, you're going to know the place that God has for you and I. And it's not in this world. As much as we put our roots in this world, this is not our final home. Listen to me now today. Listen to me. When you've been beat up and bruised and rolled over and you go through stuff, you got to know. And I'm not saying just check out. I particularly don't like it when I hear people say, I can't wait to get out of here. Well, I don't particularly have that conviction. I want to bring as many people. I'll go to the farthest places of the corners of the earth to tell people about Jesus. Because when I go to heaven, I want to bring a whole boatload with me. I want to bring a lot of people with me. But this is what Jesus said. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house is many mansions of earth. So I would not have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, he said, you can also be. Isn't that good news? That Jesus went away over 2,000 years ago with you in mind to build an eternal home for you and I. The Bible says that heaven is our citizenship, not here on earth. You can't allow the troubles and the trials and everything to just take your life and just possess you. You got to put your hope in the Lord this morning. Come on, do you believe that today? Praise God. Close your eyes, bow your head. Prayer people, I want you to come down. I just sense the kindness of God here today to do something so beautiful, so great in every life. Oh, hallelujah. Just close your eyes just for a moment. Bow your head. Honey, come on over here with me. Prayer folk, come on down here today. Believe in God for a supernatural breakthrough in somebody's life today. And I want every prayer person that is down here, I want you to be sensitive to the moving of God when you pray. Because God wants to do something great in your life. Ryan, come on up and I want you to close in prayer. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. Something powerful is going to happen in somebody's life today. The darkness is going to leave you. I sense that in my spirit today. Darkness has plagued you. And getting